I invite you to turn, please, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hit the top box, too.
Second Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read verse 8 through verse 11. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Stress. We all have it. And at times it is unnoticeable, and at other times it is so heavy we can hardly bear up underneath it. Now, I believe that some stress is good because it can keep us alert and keep us on our toes. But most stress is bad because we respond improperly to it. And then that leads to tension and anxiety and depression. And then we compound the situation by carrying the guilt of being a Christian and yet being burdened by stress. So we not only worry, but we worry about worrying. That brings us greater stress. Now, permit me to say that all people experience stress, and we don't always respond to it properly. Although misery loves company, the simple fact that we all succumb to stress from time to time doesn't justify it controlling us in our lives. And yet, knowing that we are not alone shows us that we are not odd or unique. And it does demonstrate to us that stress can and must be dealt with. Since others experience stress, then we can often learn from them. And that's really what I endeavor to do through the passage today. Because as we look into our text, and we keep in mind that we are reading about the presence of one of the greatest Christians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and how he responded to stress. And so things didn't always go as was expected for Paul, and so stress came upon him. Tension developed, anxiety followed, and even the matter of depression seems to appear on the scene on occasion. Well, how did Paul respond to all this? And well, that's what we want to look at and make application today, so that perhaps we would learn and better handle the stress that God permits to come into our lives. And so the title of my message today is that single word, stress. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would desire to be here but cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We ask that you be pleased to bless and to heal and just meet every need there. And thank you for those of us who are here today. And Lord, we come to honor you and to worship you. And we pray that as we study now your word, and as the word goes forth, that you'd move in our hearts by your Spirit, and that you would teach us and that you would guide us. And Lord, we ask if there's any today that is lost, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ, that Lord, you'd bring a conviction upon their heart and draw them to yourself and grant repentance and faith that they might be saved. And so Lord, we commit this time to you, and we love you and we honor you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about stress today from our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And very simply, as we find in our reading, Paul had stress, but I would like to back up a little bit and to the verses earlier in the chapter and notice what he says before our text. Look at verse 4. We see indications of stress. Paul writes and he talks about the God of all comfort, and he says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul talks about the fact that they had tribulation, they had trials. He went through those things. Now God comforts them, and that's a great thing. And he can help other people by what he's learned. But the fact of the matter is, Paul experienced tribulations. Look into verse 5. He continues, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And so part of those tribulations is the issue of suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a matter of persecution. Those are very difficult times. Look at verse 6. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." And so what do we find in these verses? Well, there was afflictions, sufferings for Christ. It talked about there the word affliction, again the word suffering. Nobody can question the fact that Paul had gone through some very difficult times, and he did throughout his ministry. And as he writes this passage to the church at Corinth, he speaks about all that he has gone through. And we get to our text, and we find where he uses the word trouble. "We would not," brethren, verse 8 says, "we would not have you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." And if you remember when Paul wrote to Timothy over in 2 Timothy, he talked to Timothy about the sufferings and afflictions in Asia, and he mentioned the persecution in Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra. Very difficult time. So Paul had stress. Now, what was Paul's initial response to this? Well, it's going to be like everybody else. Paul was human, just like we are. We must keep in mind that biblical characters are human beings. They're men of like passions. And sometimes we'll get these people and we'll put them up on pedestals and say, "Well, all that happened to them, but that never happens to us, and we can't experience great victory because they're just different than we are." My friend, they're just like us. They suffered like us. They thought like us. They responded like us. Paul, this great Christian as we see him to be, you know what? He doesn't respond so well at the start. Well, notice what he says in the text. Notice how severe this stress is and his reaction to it. Again, pick it up in verse 8. He says, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." So they suffered, "that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now notice the description that the Apostle Paul gives us here in verse 8 about the condition and the situation in which he found himself on more than one occasion. You'll see the statement there in verse 8 where it says, "pressed out of measure." The word "pressed" in the original language means to throw beyond. It is to overshoot. It comes from a main root word, which means to surpass or to excel. The first part of that word is, we're familiar with the word hyper. And hyperactive, that's too much activity, you know. And so we know the word hyper, that's part of that word. To go beyond, well, that's connected with the word measure. And the word measure actually in the original language means to weigh down. It is to burden. And that comes from a main root word in the original language, which means to be heavy or something which is momentous or severe. So you take the measure to begin with is something that's a burden. It's something that is heavy. Now he says that we've been pressed out of measure. Not only is it heavy in itself, but we've been pressed out of it. It's more than that. It's beyond that. So this is a heavy weight or burden, which is exceedingly heavy. And it's also in the passive, which means the weight was laid upon him. And so these troubles have come upon him from without. And we're not talking about just, oh, I bumped my toe, you know, and I got this little problem or that little problem. This is a major, these are major issues. This is something that's just not heavy, but it's exceeding heavy. It's beyond that. It's thrown over that. So something that is of great weight. Well, the stress was so great, as you follow it up there in verse 8, that it says that that they were above strength. See that? Above strength. And so he got to the place, the activity which was placed upon him, it's just too much for him. It's beyond their ability. And then you'll see that this burden was so heavy at the latter part of verse 8. And you might even be surprised at this if you're not aware of the passage. But he says that they were above; it was above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. That word despair means to be in utmost perplexity. And so there was great despair that came upon him. How did the Apostle Paul respond? Well, when these things initially came upon him, it was so burdenous and so tremendous upon him, it was just beyond anything that they've really been able to bear. And he says, you know, we got to the place we despaired even of life. And so I see the Apostle Paul admitting the fact that, you know what, he got to the place that he was thinking, you know what, I'd just as soon be dead. I'd rather be gone than to bear up under this situation. Have you ever been to that point? You ever gotten to the place where you look around at your life and you look around at your circumstances and you just kind of say, man, this is just too much. We see it all the time in the news, don't we, about people that's too much for them? And they do take that next step, which is very sad. Paul, I don't think he was suicidal, but he just said, you know what? This is really too much to take. I can see the Apostle Paul saying, Lord, take me home. Kind of reminds you of Job, doesn't it, in the Old Testament, after all that came upon him, and he said, Lord, I wish that you would just take me. Take my life. Oh, that I were gone. And sometimes, you know, we have such circumstances and pressures upon our life, the stress is so heavy that we just kind of wish, you know what, we weren't even here anymore. Now, if you've never experienced it, you likely will. You know why? Because you're a human being. And somewhere in the course of human events throughout your life, if you live long enough, you'll probably get to that place where you go, you know what, Lord, I've kind of had enough of that. Please just take me home. You just might get there. I see the Apostle Paul writhing at that juncture. Lord, take me. And we despaired even of life. That's what verse 8 says. Now, how did he end up responding to his situation? What was his recourse? Now, of course, he didn't do what some people do in our society. He actually had a positive response to this, and I see the answer in verse 9 and verse 10. This was his method of dealing with the place that he had arrived in. I mean, as he began to respond to these things, he got discouraged, he got a little bit despondent, and then he got to the place where he despaired even of life. And then instead of taking him, God just said, here, I'll give you what you need. And we have this answer. This is how he reacted. Here's his method of dealing with the stress. And it's found in verse 9 and verse 10. He says, but, they had despaired of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. But, the Apostle Paul says, despite the circumstances, despite the present situation, what I've chosen to do is to place myself under a sentence of death. Now, when you read those words, we had a sentence of death in ourselves. The word sentence means that it is a judicial sentence. We're familiar with it in our law course where the judge will pass down a sentence. That's what that word is. It's a legal term. And he says, we've had a sentence of death. Now, you know the word death. And we hear about people in our society who are sentenced to death. And what Paul says in response to a situation and condition where they got so severe upon them that they got to the place where they despaired of life, then God brought them to the place where he says, but wait a second, it's not finished. And Paul says, then we had a sentence of death upon themselves. And so, as a judge sentences a criminal to capital punishment, they sentence themselves to death. And I view it this way. What's the problem that we have anyway? What is our biggest... My biggest problem is me. I don't know about you, but my biggest problem is me. And I hope that I'm not your biggest problem. You're probably your biggest problem. But the fact of the matter is, we respond, well, I don't like that. That's not pleasing to me. That wasn't what I would have chosen. But if you sentence yourself to death, and Paul said, I die daily. He reckoned himself to be dead in Christ, dead to the world. Well, if you're dead, you don't have any rights, you don't have any desires, you don't have any will. You know what? You're dead. And if he gets to this place where he says, I have a sentence of death in myself. I view the Apostle Paul saying is, you know what, my thoughts, my will, my motives, my desires, my comforts, my opinions, even life itself, I've given it all up. It's not mine any longer. Because where stress comes in is where we react when things don't go our way. It's not going our flow. and we become upset, we become emotionally disturbed, we become anxious. What is that? It's because we think we deserve something, we haven't gotten it. And you can apply that to any situation of life, my friend. And the Apostle Paul says we had the sentence of death in himself. Now remember, some of those things of which we made reference toward about his affliction was persecution. I mean, they stoned the Apostle Paul. And he suffered through prison terms and all kinds of things. The only way you can do that, really, in my judgment, is the way the Apostle Paul does. He said, well, I didn't deserve to be free anyway. I didn't deserve to have life anyway. He had a sentence of death in himself. Does that make sense to you? So his response initially wasn't very good. They got to the place where they despaired life. But then, by God's grace, they had a sentence of death in themselves. And that led them to the next step. And so you'll see in verse 9 that they didn't trust in themselves. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. You try to fix it, don't you? And that can bring a lot of tension. That can bring a lot of anxiety. And some people have a compulsion. They just have to fix everything. And you know those kind of people are under a great deal of stress because nothing is ever right and they always have to fix. It's a continuous burden. And Paul said we have a sentence of death in ourselves and we do not trust in ourselves. We don't trust in ourselves to remedy the circumstances. We don't trust in ourselves to provide the needed strength that we must have to endure. We're not trusting in ourselves to have a proper understanding of the events. We're not trusting in ourselves to avenge ourselves on the evildoers. We're not trusting ourselves to remove the pain, the suffering, and the afflictions. Now, my friend, if you'll take those things and apply them to your life, you'll find that our stress comes because we try to fix everything that's around us. If a situation's not the way we want it, then we're going to try to remedy that situation. If we need strength, well, we're not going to get any strength unless we pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we try to just grit our teeth and grab clench our fists, and we're going to make it through. And we think we can do it on our own. And boy, that just causes a lot of stress, doesn't it? And sometimes we have to try to figure it all out. I'll tell you, if you're a person that has to fix everything, you're always under stress. And if you're a person that has to have a clear understanding of everything, you're always under stress. Some people have to have an answer for everything and have to have a clear-cut explanation of it all. And I'll tell you, that's going to bring a great deal of burden upon you because you're not going to get all the answers. But what did Paul do? When you look at this, and I mentioned the matter of evildoers, could he want to get even with those people? Well, maybe a human perspective might be, you stoned me to death, I don't like that too well, I'm going to get even with you. You know, if you're trying to get even with people and you say, well, preacher, you don't know what they said, you don't know what they've done, you don't know how they treated me, and on, perhaps I don't. But God does. And if you're bent on getting even, if you're bent on just carrying that burden and keeping that thing alive in you, you know what? You're going to be so stressful you can't stand it. You really have to put it behind. You have to have a sentence of death in yourself and realize that's beyond me. I can't trust in myself to remedy this situation. I have to trust in God to handle it and to leave it in His hands because if I do it, I'm just going to destroy myself. And I'll tell you, it's so true, isn't it? We just have to try to get even. If we got to take away the pain, take away the suffering, all those kind of things. And the Apostle Paul said, I got to the place where I despaired of life, but then we had a sense of death in ourselves, and we did not trust in ourselves. By the way, why do you become anxious and develop hypertension and get to the place of despair anyway? Because when we look at our circumstances, we see it so far beyond our control, and there's no solution to it, that we just throw up our hands in despair. It's human reasoning that takes us to that place to begin with. And so Paul admits and says, you know what? We don't trust in ourselves. And I would encourage you, my friend, today, if you're dealing with stress, hypertension, and circumstances in your life, you know what? There are often things that are beyond your control, and you cannot fix them. And you just have to leave it with God. And you have to lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best way is to respond the way Paul did, and that is have a sense of death in yourself and realize you can't trust in yourself to handle the situation. There must be someone else to do it. And I'll tell you, that someone else is God. And that's what's mentioned then in the latter part of verse 9. They had the sentence of death. They didn't trust in themselves. Verse 9, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Who did they trust in? They got to the place and said, well, we can't fix it. We can't handle it. We can't deal with it. But we know who can. And so we trust in God. We don't trust in ourselves. And so they acknowledge who God is. And of course, that is God, isn't it? The only true God. And there is only one true God. And so he says, we trust in God. Now notice God's power. It's in this statement in the last phrase of verse 9. But in God, which raiseth the dead. You look at that, and as we go into verse 10, you see a lot of information about God in a very short space. And he says that we trust in God who raises the dead. It takes a lot of power to raise the dead. You can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know anybody else that can, but I know one that can, and it's God. God is the one with the power. And so don't trust in you. Don't trust in your neighbor. You trust in God. God, who raises the dead, and notice where he mentions then on in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. That's the past working. And doth deliver. That's the present working. And in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And so God has an ability to work in the future. Don't you like that? Don't you see him trusting God and God alone to deal with the situation, the circumstances? He was at the place he was ready to throw in the towel. God, take my life. But he says, we had a sense of death in ourselves. We're not going to trust ourselves. We're going to trust in God and God alone. By the way, that God is the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. And it's that God who's helped us in the past. He's helping us right now. And he'll help us in the future. And you know, if you look at it from that perspective, why are we worrying? Why do we get upset? It all belongs in God's hands and his power. And he's helped us in the past. He's helping us now. And he'll help us down the road. We don't have to worry about down the road. But as humans, it's very easy, isn't it? Very easy to look upon ourselves. But their trust was in God. That's the solution. Now notice the last thing that I bring to your attention is this absolute, complete confidence they have in him. And it's in verse 10, the last phrase of that text, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul has an absolute confidence that God will deal with them in their present distress. It says, in whom we trust. That's who we trust right now. That's who our confidence is in. And God is the one they're looking toward. Now, God is the source of their hope and strength. That's who they're depending upon. They're not depending. And churches are good, but you know what? The church can't be our hope. Spouses can be good, but spouses can't be our hope. Society might have some good about it, but that can't be our hope. I tell you, our hope better be found in God. And our source better be found in God. And Paul says that this God who raises the dead, who's always worked for us in the past, it's in whom we trust right now. And we trust him that he will. That means God still has the ability. He will deliver us. And so the deliverance that is yet out there, that they're going to need, the stuff that they're going through right now, that they need help on, God's still there. God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. And I believe the Apostle Paul makes recognition here that God works on their behalf because he says he will yet deliver us. God will watch over us. They simply place their confidence in God. What are the four things we saw in this passage and Paul's remedy or method for dealing with stress? They had a sense of death in themselves. They didn't trust in themselves, but they trusted in God, and they'll continue to trust in God. That's the remedy. But you'll notice one other thing we did read in verse 11. I just want to make a mention of this. There was a recognition that God uses other people to assist them. He goes on into verse 11. He says, you also helping together by prayer for us. Isn't it good to know that people are praying for you, to have the prayers of the saints? And he says, you helped us. You're helpers together by prayer. And then he says, and that the gift may be bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, that thanks may be given to them. And what it was is they sent an offering to help him in his distress. And so there was a financial assistance by others, and there was prayer on behalf of others, and Paul doesn't ignore that. Now his complete hope and confidence is found in God, but God will often use other people to help us in the midst of our troubles. Now, what can we learn from all this? We see the problem, the stress which he was under, we see how he dealt with that stress. I have to hasten along. This is my conclusion. How are we to respond? What must we conclude from what we've seen today? I submit unto you that in facing our stressful situations, the afflictions, the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings, the sorrows, the failures, even persecutions that may well come upon us, whatever you're going through in your life, I don't know, but God does. And I believe we need to share the Apostle Paul's perspective by having a sentence of death in ourselves. I have a few references I would like for you to turn to. Go back to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have a sentence of death in ourselves. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's really saying, you know what, I'm dead to the world, but I'm alive to God. And it's Christ in me. I'm crucified with Christ. And you know what, if you're dead in Christ, you know what, if you don't get that raise at work, well, that shouldn't upset you. You're dead. If somebody doesn't treat you right, somebody didn't particularly say the thing you wanted to hear, well, just count yourself to be dead. We must trust in God. And the way to do that is to reckon ourselves to be dead. Skip over to Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Notice he says in verse 24 of Galatians 5, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so if we will be willing to say, you know what, that didn't happen, but, you know, did I really deserve it anyway? Did I earn that anyway? Now, I understand from a human perspective we have a difficulty with those kind of things, but I'm just expressing Paul's handling of the situation and saying we had a sentence of death in ourselves. And if we see ourselves as not having any will, any desires, any of the things that we just have to make ourselves happy and to have joy, by the way, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Circumstances bring happiness. Joy is what is from within. And God's peace gives us joy. If the circumstances are good around us, then we have happiness. But I'll tell you, if we start putting rules and guidelines and all these things to make us happy and to bring us joy, then you're going to have a lot of stress. If you can step back and just go with the flow and say, you know what, that's fine, you'll be much more at peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to have a sentence of death in ourselves. Reckon to be crucified with Christ, and when we do, we crucify the affections and the lusts. Secondly, I would submit unto you, we should not trust in ourselves. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Sometimes we have the idea, if I don't do it, no one else can, or no one else will. It's up to me to solve my own problems. Nobody's going to fix it but me. I remind you what it says over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and in verse 5 and verse 6. And I got to turn over there. My mind just went blank. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You see what that says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Sometimes it's not going to make sense. Sometimes we're not going to be able to figure it out. You just have to trust God. So we have to have a sentence of death in ourselves and not trust in ourselves. But then those last two things about putting the trust in God and absolute confidence in God and what He can do and what He will do. We have to trust in God to work. We have to trust in Him to provide. We have to trust in Him to deliver. We have to trust in Him to resolve the situation. And we may get an answer like the Apostle Paul over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, where he prayed three times that God would take away that physical affliction, and God said, no, but my grace will be sufficient for you. We may have to deal with that, but God's grace is sufficient, you see. But we have to trust in the Lord. Now, those things that I've submitted unto you earlier, as I just went through and gave you some examples, perhaps, of why we ought not trust in ourselves in certain areas, I want to address just a few verses toward these things, and then I'll be finished. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We must trust in the Lord, correct? Absolutely. We have to trust in God and let Him take vengeance. Here's Romans 12. This is verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I don't know how people's treated you. But you know what? God does. You say, well, you don't know what that spouse did. You don't know what my child did. You don't know what my parents did. You don't know what my preacher did. You know what? I don't know. But God does. And if you're going to take it upon yourself to get even, then you're going to bring yourself a great deal of stress and anxiety. Those are things beyond our control. Bible says you let God take vengeance. Go back, if you would, to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So we don't want to trust in ourselves to take vengeance. We're going to let God handle the situation that's around us. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We must look to God by faith. Now, the reference I'm looking at in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm just giving you some of these references that would encourage you. We have Bible for these principles. This is the time of Jehoshaphat. The battle came up against them, and it's a great army that was coming up against them. But I like his attitude in verse 12. Here's Jehoshaphat's prayer to God, and he says, O our God. This is 2 Chronicles 20, 12. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I like that, because as we look to our life and we see the circumstances, it seems so much beyond us, and we just need to get like Jehoshaphat here and say, you know what, this is beyond us, we can't handle it, we don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. And I encourage you, dear friend, as life comes upon you and as hard as it can be, look to God. Put your eyes upon Him. Go backwards now to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is the passage where Elisha was minding his own business. Well, he was helping the king of Israel, but the Syrians didn't like all the information he was sharing, so the Syrians sent down their army and surrounded him, and the old servant came out in the morning, you remember, and saw the hills with the Syrian army around them. Pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll tell you, we need to trust in God and rely upon God by faith. Here's an example, 2 Kings 6, verse 15. The servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. Behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, Elisha responded, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I mean, the hills were filled with angels of God, but the servant didn't know that, and the servant didn't recognize it, but Elisha knew. And I'll tell you, my friend, as we look at life, sometimes we go, man, it's just so overwhelming. The Syrian army's got us encompassed. If we just have our eyes open to see that God is still with us and He has not forsaken us, He's all around us. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him, the Scripture says. So we need to look to God for Him to take vengeance. Let's not worry about all that. We need to look to God by faith. We need to rely upon God by faith. And if you'll go back further yet to 1 Samuel chapter 17, to a very familiar story, of which I trust all of you are aware of. It's the matter of David when he came out against Goliath. And you know, there's so much that could be found there, and we don't have time to involve ourselves with all that, but I find David, when he went against Goliath, was serving God by faith. I mean, he trusted God. And I pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, read verse 37. 1 Samuel 17, 37. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. What God has done, He's going to continue to do, and He's going to whip this guy. And see his trust? He's going to serve God, and he's going to serve God by faith. Skip down to verse 45. David came to the Philistine. He says, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And little David went out against that big giant and defeated him. And he was willing to serve God by faith. Turn to one other passage and I have finished. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. While you're turning over to Philippians chapter 4, I want to remind you of one of my favorite verses. And it's Isaiah 26:3, and it says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." Let that verse sink into your heart as you turn to Philippians 4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." And so I know that if I am not at peace, I am not trusting my God as I ought. God will give us peace if we trust him. In closing then, I want you to consider this text. We talked about the Apostle Paul, the things that he went through, his method for dealing with that situation there that was so great they even despaired of life. We talked about that. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. We pick it up in Philippians 4, verse 11, and he talks about contentment. Verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of one," he was making reference about the offering, the gift to help him in his ministry, but he says, "Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." How can he do it? He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." How is it the Apostle Paul could be content in whatever condition he was in and be at rest and be at peace? Because he got to the place where he learned that he had to have a sense of death in himself, and he couldn't trust in himself, but he could trust in God, and God would take care of it. And he learned to be content, whether he was prosperous or whether he was poor, whether he was being well-treated or being persecuted, whether he was full or whether he was hungry. And the only way he could do that is through the power of Christ, as he says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." I see a change in the Apostle Paul's attitude from despairing of life to saying, "It doesn't matter whatever state, I'm content. I'm at peace because I'm trusting my God." Now, these are true principles, my friend. And as we apply them to our hearts and to our lives, we'll find peace, we'll find rest. And as we begin to take those things back to ourselves and to worry and be consumed with it and to try to deal with it in our own power, then we'll see the anxiety come in, we'll see the stress levels go up, we'll see the hypertension increase, and we might even see a heart attack or two. We must learn to deal with stress the way God teaches Paul to deal with stress. And that's just turn all of it over to him and trust God with it. And I encourage you to learn from this today, apply it to your life, and may we have a stress-free day. Can we do it? By God's grace, we can. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I know I didn't speak about the gospel today, but Jesus Christ is the Savior. He was crucified, buried, and risen again. He gives eternal life to all who believe. You that are here that are lost, you need Jesus. And would you trust him to be your Savior? Christian, we've spoken to you today how to deal with stress. I pray that God really has touched your heart and helped you in some form or other. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing me to share it. And I pray that you would just cause us to be increased in our walk and in our faith with you. Lord, take away the stress and the burden of this world, that we might dwell upon you and you alone and find the peace that we need. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We honor you and we praise you. Meet every need of every heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?
Number 56. Finish 6.